Creature Feature with Katie Golden.
That's staying in, I think.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I'll write some more lyrics.
It's my new theme song. Gonna ditch the old one.
We're gonna learn about bats and polar bears and crows. Just because Kate is right doesn't mean you were always wrong. Creature Feature.
Leaving 90% of that in. Welcome to Creature Feature, production of iHeartRadio. I'm your host, a mini parasite's Katie Golden. I studied psychology and evolutionary biology, and today on the show, a trio of tiny terrors, and at the end, one humongous horror. And I'll let you decide, if all the tiny terrors formed a team, could they defeat the giant monster at the end of the podcast? Discover this more as we answer the age-old question, are snakes forbidden spaghetti? Joining me today are hosts of the podcast, The Dogs Zone, as well as 1-900-HOT-DOG.
Mm-hmm. That's all right.
Sean, Baby, and Brockway. Have you guys ever heard of T. gondii?
Is that the toxoplasmosis?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It's the toxoplasmosis, like he says.
Yeah, it's the cat that rules the world.
Yes, and as we have talked about on the show before, T. gondii, or toxoplasmosis, can infect rat brains that makes them unafraid of cats and possibly even attracted to cats.
Oh,
so
like romantically.
Typically, yeah, yeah. So typically, T. gondii's life cycle goes like this. It infects a rat's brain. It drives the rat to seek out a cat. It gets eaten by the cat. Then T. gondii reproduces inside the cat's gut, winds up in cat's poop, and then it infects rats when rats drink food or water contaminated by the cat poop.
It is quite a plan.
It is an incredible plan.
Love it when a plan comes together. It's the Hannibal of cat parasites.
And on a teeny tiny scale, because they are actually unicellular protozoans under 50 micrometers small and only visible under a microscope. So quite an extravagant MacGyver situation for such a tiny thing.
That's smarter than me, and I'm like four times that size.
He's owning two species. Oh, I forgot to quack myself.
So researchers found that parts of the rat brain associated with sexual behavior activates when the infected rats are exposed to cat urine.
Yeah.
So this makes rats look for cats, hoping for love, and instead they get eaten. And then the T. gondii can have like a couple's meat cute inside of the cat's gut.
Mm. Do rats kink shame? Because that's nasty.
Yeah, that's some fetish stuff right there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm thinking this situation, kink shaming probably saves lives.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's kink shame these rats.
Right. I mean, their kink is literally to whiff some cat pee and get eaten. So,
rats are freaks. You know. You need to be ashamed. What would your little rat parents say if they saw you just huffing cat pee and trying to bring a cat?
Yeah. I mean, you know, that'd be an awkward funeral. Awkward rat funeral. Like, hey, how did your rat son die? Oh, you know.
Like a pervert.
I've been to the human equivalent of that too many times.
But I'm not here to talk about rats getting horny from cat pee, weirdly enough.
You brought it up.
Guess,
let the record show.
Don't make it look like we're the freaks. Come on.
Well, I don't know. For whatever reason, you guys come on my podcast and somehow we start talking about cat pee and how rats get horny for it. I don't know how that happened.
We will accept 13% responsibility. We know the kind of people we are, but...
Yeah, well, you kind of, you know, like, it's sort of like the secret. You, like, put things out into the universe and you get horny rats and cat pee back.
Yeah, that's the chapters 1 through 7 of the secret
there.
Yeah, isn't that in the secret? I skimmed it, but I think that was what it said. But
secret
no,
of him, am I right?
What?
John Baby? Am I right?
I love it. I love it.
What? No, say it again. Say it again.
It's that secret of Nim, am I right?
Okay. So
that's really
it's
about
not great
rats.
When you make me repeat it.
No, but this is part of the process. So what Brockway is referring to is a 1998, I'm going to say, sort of direct-to-video movie of a mouse who had magical powers.
Based on Flowers for Algernon.
And they did that cat.
And they did have, yes, yeah. They did have relations with a cat in that movie. That's not actually true. It's about a fun, magical mouse who saves her family with magic. It's a beautiful little movie, highly underrated. And what Brockway was doing was making an allusion to that movie in terms of what we were talking about, which was The Secret and rats and cat urine, which was very clever and also ruined my precious childhood memories. So a study has recently found that rats are not the only victims of T. gondii. In fact, hyena cubs seem to be another victim of this tiny weirdo protozoan.
Could this explain, Trump supporters? You know how we can never make sense of them? Could it be?
Affect humans.
They've been huffing cat pee.
Did Trump get elected by hyena cubs?
It was a close election.
By cat pee huffers. Definitely they were cat pee huffers. No question.
Alabama hyena cubs.
Got him.
Just love them.
Got him. It's been 12 months, 6 months since the election? Got him.
Holding on to that energy.
So hyena cubs infected with T. gondii tended to approach lions at a much closer distance than the uninfected. And these behaviors seem to go away when they got a little older, which may be that the ones who survived and didn't get eaten by lions learned that they might get eaten by lions. But it's very strange because it seems that this T. gondii may be influencing the behavior of something much larger, much more different than a rat, a literal hyena cub, which I hate to burst everyone's bubble who get all of their information about lions and hyenas from The Lion King. Lions is assholes. They eat hyena babies.
Well, hyenas is that nature. Nature is an asshole.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, hyenas would potentially eat a lion cub too. But, you know, I'm just saying, the movie presented this very one-sided thing of hyenas are evil. But, you know, Simba would be eating some hyena baby while the hyena's trying to eat Nala or whatever. Right. You know what I mean? It's just they eat babies all the time there. It's normal.
He did wake up with that warthog and meerkat, and he's like, "You guys have any zebra?" Which I always thought was wow. That's...
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, I recognize you guys are probably, you know, pretty related to a zebra. You probably... interact with zebras, neighbor's probably some zebra. I eat him? Could I eat your neighbor?
Murder and eat your neighbor is what he was basically asking.
When he was a child, yeah.
And so it gets in the hyena cub. Does it affect an older hyena? Do they grow out of it? Or is it just generally if you get it, you're almost certain to be eaten and you don't grow out of it because of that reason?
They do grow out of it, but it's unclear why. If it has something to do with the brain developing and changing such that the toxoplasmosis doesn't affect it anymore, or if it's purely through learning. So maybe somehow learning overrides that inclination to get close to a lion because they learn they get their ear bitten off or something and they get scared straight kind of thing going on.
I like that they have kind of a... every problem looks the same sort of thing, like toxoplasmosis gondii. Just kind of looks for a bigger cat. That's its only solution. Gonna bring you to a house cat? Gonna bring you to a lion? I infected something really big this time. Where's the biggest cat, you know?
Well, you know, that's interesting you bring that up, because the reason that T. gondii only reproduces inside cat guts is that cats, felines, whether they're a house cat or a lion, are the only mammal to have available linoleic acid inside their intestines, which is an acid that T. gondii needs in order to reach maturity and reproduce. So there is a very specific reason that they love cat guts. But who doesn't love cat guts, you know?
Sure. I think all biology should get together and decide to eat one thing. We all just eat kelp. And then we won't have to infect anyone's brains. Can't we all just live together, bacteria?
And then they only need to infect the one thing to get us. Then they just infect the kelp supply. It's Like, you don't know basic siege warfare, man.
Yeah, you're right. We can't trust these microbes.
I do like the idea of every living thing on the planet teaming up against kelp. Mm-hmm. I kind of like that, though.
That's a fight we can win.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's like we thought it would take aliens to unite us. No, it's kelp. No. It's weird. It's slimy.
I'm going to betray you guys so fast. I'm going to go team kelp, like, almost immediately.
While it was previously thought that only rodents such as mice and rats were driven by T. gondii to be ingested by cats, it turns out that maybe hyena cubs are as well, which really opens up a lot of possibilities, such as how does this alter human behavior? So I know that there's a lot of kind of internet chatter that maybe, you know, the crazy cat lady trope is caused by T. gondii, where someone who's a cat hoarder is infected with it and it makes them want to get more cats. There's really no evidence of that. So there's like...
Has there been research done on it? Have scientists said, like, dude, I'm going to prove these cat ladies are crazy for a reason and found inconclusive results?
Like, or is it like just
no one has funded this research?
I'm going to tell everybody it's true.
I think there's been some research on it. I don't know if there have been any studies that have been published that are specifically about cat ladies, but I don't think whatever has been published has either been preliminary or it's just really not pointing towards anything. Okay. But there is research that shows just a tiny amount of evidence that may indicate that people who are infected with toxoplasmosis may take more risks, such as reckless driving or starting a business.
Okay.
Oh, it's the entrepreneur parasite.
Yeah. Yeah. So the research is, I hesitate to bring it up because the research is very threadbare, but it is super funny. So I am going to do it. I'm going to bring it up.
Oh, that's man. Great. We both did just absolutely wallow in cat before we started 1-900-HOT-DOG. Like, as soon as we were done, we were just like, let's start a business.
Yeah, I mean, if you, like, suddenly have, like, some great idea for a business that you want to sink your life savings into, like, did you clean a kitty box lately?
Yeah, all your best ideas happen while you're cleaning the litter box.
Well, I didn't say they're good ideas.
Right, but I think they're good ideas.
Well, but that could be you're infected with a brain parasite, though.
I would be lucky if it's just one. I'll take just one.
Do 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 African bush cricket.
African bush cricket.
I like their theme song. I'm on board with them already. I hope they're not terrible.
I would have incorporated
the premise of this podcast.
I have, let me say, interesting news for you. Here's a picture of one of these fellas.
Look at the size of this guy.
Yeah,
that's the boss. The boss of all crickets.
Yeah, yeah. So it's big. It's kind of spiny. It looks kind of like a Gwar puppet a little bit. You know, it's got the spikes. Mm-hmm. Or like an extra from Mad Max. Kind of.
A bitchin' color scheme, too.
Yeah, sort of like a... It's got like a burnt umber and then sort of a shiny bluish black.
I could see killing this in like Outer
Toxic
Worlds.
Yellow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, classic
bad
guy. Oh,
yeah, yeah. Yeah, I've been playing a lot of Outer Worlds. Definitely looks like some Outer Worlds like Marauder armor for sure.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is the African bush cricket, and normally crickets are not something terrifying. They're cute little guys who chirp and jump around, but this guy kind of looks like an H.R. Giger concept art for the Alien movies. It's kind of looks like it's scary. It's gonna eat your eyes.
I bet when he rubs those legs together, it plays Metallica.
Before I go any...
I was just doing the soundtrack for the next thing you were saying.
Thank you.
As if the cricket was here with us. And then Broccoli could be like, wait, I think he's here. That's all
right. But I do want to mention, before I start getting angry letters from insect biologists, cricket biologists, who are very vocal. They get mad if you insinuate anything about crickets that is not true. These are not really crickets. They are called bush crickets because they look like a giant cricket. But it's not a real cricket. They are actually katydids.
Correct.
So, you know,
I'm one of those people who find calling spiders bugs. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like there's like these stages of bug interest where like, I'm not as pedantic about it. So if they want to be calling these katydids, that's fine.
I'm going to call it a cricket.
Yeah, it's, look, you know, it looks like a giant cricket. How can you fault someone for seeing this giant cricket with spikes and then thinking like, oh, actually, I think that's a katydid, you know? Like, I'd be trying to pull it out of my eye socket.
Is Katie short for katydid?
It is, actually. Yeah, I was named after after katydids because when I was a baby, I was so loud and annoying.
So I guess we can get like a personal reaction from you. If someone was to call you cricket, would you be like, oh, hell no? Or would you be like, no, that's fine?
I've never had it happen. And weirdly, this is the first time it's happened. And it's filled me with just uncontrollable rage.
Okay. So maybe they're right. Maybe these hypothetical bug nerds you made up are right. And all we had to do is just try to understand them.
Exactly. Yeah. No, I mean, I actually was, when I was a kid, my parents called me katydid
as
a nickname. Yeah, aww. Thank you. Yeah.
How are you right about that? You had no right to be right about that.
Well, you know,
such a stab in the dark. Can't believe you pulled it off.
I ate a lot of cat turds, and that gave me like the risk-taking ability to just make wild guesses about people's name origins.
Resonating with the hive mind inside us all.
Yeah, we're definitely not saying on the show that if you eat cat turds, you'll get better at comedy. Wink, 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 wink.
You will join the hive mind, and it's, you'll take bolder chances.
Yes. It gives you that edge you need.
So, armored African bush crickets look like they're wearing alien armor. They grow up to be about 2 inches long, which is...
it's a thick 2 inches.
It's a meaty thing. So it's like a cocktail wiener with legs.
Yeah, seems about right.
Is that about...
like about a cat, medium-sized cat turd, like a snack cat turd.
Yeah, like a snackable cat turd. And they have a lot of spikes, like I explained earlier. But if that's not enough, they have extremely strong mandibles that are having a force to chew through carrion, baby birds, and even each other when they decide to be cannibals.
Oh, man, if I came across that thing eating a baby bird, I would just, I don't even think I would kill it. I would just run.
Yeah,
I would be sure that was going to mutate into something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Grow some wings.
That is pre-horror monster right there. That's when you're like, oh, well, what is that thing? Let me get a closer look.
There's something about insects eating birds, which does happen. Like praying mantises will sometimes go after hummingbirds. There's something about it that makes me deeply uncomfortable.
It's true. It's just a gross thing, and I hate it.
Feels like something like a bird is out of your league, you know, if you're an insect.
Right.
Yeah.
Like you watch a Shrike, they'll have a tree lined up with crickets. A Shrike will just take them, stick them on spikes, and just leave them there for everyone to look at. It's not even
a fight. That's true. Yeah, I mean, Shrikes, they do kind of, they kind of deserve it. But, you know, hummingbirds don't. They don't impale anyone.
Oh,
they could, too. They got the beak for it, but they don't.
It's true. Our hummingbirds knock their feet all over the place. The whole place gets sticky. The whole outside's sticky.
You're working really hard to play insect devil's advocate over here.
I always feel like that's the role I take. I don't know why.
Some kind of bug lawyer.
Traitor.
Sean, baby, bug lawyer.
That was the plot of Bee Movie, wasn't it? That the bee wanted to be a lawyer.
It sounds familiar, but I don't think I've seen even 10% of it.
I did. I watched Bee Movie. I have an episode on Bee Movie debunking Bee Movie. So I forgot what it's called. Probably it's got Bee Movie in the title, but
put it in its place.
Now,
it was,
as a bug and animal enthusiast, do you find that pushing you to watch terrible movies because they align with your interests?
Yeah. I've definitely watched more than one terrible movie to kind of address some of the misinformation about insects in general. Bee Movie was one of them. So was Ants with a Z. That was bad. I watched Boss Baby because I thought I was going to do an episode that involved Boss Baby. I don't want to explain it. So
yeah, I have a lot of questions, but if you're telling me you're not going to explain it, that's fine. No follow-up questions. I meant like, if you saw a movie about like, say, like a wolf killing people, are you more likely to watch that than a movie about a guy killing people? Even though it looks stupid, you're like, I love.
Oh,
I love
because
wolves.
Like I'm because my interest in animals compels me to watch more animal content. I mean, it kind of depends. Maybe I think like I definitely have a higher tolerance for animals who are bad actors than humans who are bad actors.
Sure.
You know, it's like I get it.
Mm-hmm. Except Shrikes.
Although speaking of animal actors, that dog from The Thing was one of the best actors in that movie.
So good.
Yeah.
Like I'm not. It's not a bit. This isn't a bit. Yeah. The way that dogs like stared in the beginning was so chilling.
Mm-hmm. And that head spider was real good too. This is a bit. I don't actually think that the head spider was a good actor.
I think he was pretty good.
The head spider was really giving me like a lot of like Laurence Olivier. Really?
Oh, okay. Really, so a little too arch up for you.
So these armored crickets are pretty serious business, munching on baby birds, chewing on dead bodies, kind of extreme, but they go a step further. If you are wild enough to want to try to attack one of these things, first they will do stridulation, which is a very loud buzzing noise, which should be enough to get you to back off. But if that's not enough, you will be greeted with a stream of toxic blood that the armored African bush cricket squirts from its exoskeletal pores.
Nice.
Hell yeah. All right, I'm back on its side. That rules.
So if you dodge enough blood, he would just like drain himself of his own blood though, right? Like, we have a tactic to defeat him. You stick and move long enough and he's like just completely drained himself.
Well, but you're getting squirted in the eyes and mouth with disgusting toxic blood.
Not if you're rolling. If you're doing a lot of good rolls, you're going
to
be
Souls.
Yeah, you'd have to do a lot of rolls, I think.
Yeah, okay. You got Dark Souls combat. You got to just somersault around him.
Mm-hmm.
Keep somersaulting.
Just alley-oop.
He's squirting all this blood. You're watching his health bar go down. Yeah. Like, that's
got to get that parry.
So this is called auto-hemorrhage. And actually, technically, the blood of an insect is called hemolymph. So it is squirting toxic hemolymph out of its exoskeletal pores.
Yikes. And how many of these
band names in that.
I'm still planning my... Yeah, I like that for
how much name. Blood? How much hemolymph is in an African bush cricket?
Like, pragmatically, how many squirts does this guy have in him before he's out of
squirts? How many pumps?
How many pumps?
Well, are we measuring in metric or imperial?
Just like a number. Six-pump like, cricket.
Yeah, if he's pumped six times, does he have any left in him?
Yeah, I'm going to say confidently he's got six pumps, yeah.
Six-pump cricket. That's I know him when I see him.
Yeah.
Would you qualify that as, in your expert opinion, was that a good question or a bad question?
In my expert opinion, as an expert on how much blood is inside an African bush cricket, very good question that I'm able to expertly answer, because I definitely know how much blood is inside an African bush cricket. It's one of those things I know.
Too much.
Definitely. If you had four paper towels folded over themselves and you like smashed one of these things, you need some more paper towels. That's how...
Well, it depends on the brand.
Oh,
Brawny gets one of these up right up in just one ply, you know, one square. That's what
podcast brought to you by Brawny.
Quality.
Read Brawny paper towels.
That is the quality engineering of Brawny paper towels.
This is how you land sponsorships.
Yeah. If you squash an African bush cricket and that slop is getting all over your dining room table, just one square Brawny. I wonder why Brawny hasn't sponsored me yet.
Seriously.
I'm a Viva boy, and I will not stand for this.
Oh, come on.
We, our podcast is sponsored by the Secret of Nim sex wipes. And so that's...
Great. Secret of Nim dude wipes.
Yes. Flushable dude wipes.
How many
Asterisk,
dude wipes?
They're not flushable.
How many dude wipes do you think you need after you get sprayed by some toxic hemolymph by one of these fellers?
Six?
Yeah. It's a six sure wipe good. Cricket.
It's a six wipe cricket.
Six wipe cricket. That's how they measure crickets. African bush crickets. How many wipes? That's a six wiper right there. See that? Yep. That's a six wiper. Big game cricket hunting. But you know, if a toxic hemolymph streaming out at you from an angry, spiky, stridulating bush cricket is not enough to get you to go away, they will vomit at you as sort of a fine, like a little chef's kiss, cherry on top, parting gift.
Is that what he's doing in that top picture?
No, I think he's eating some
okay.
Unidentifiable sort of square of yellow.
It's like stuff. A lemon sorbet. He's like.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure, that's lemon sorbet. Yeah. I'm sure it's not like some kind of animal eyeball thing.
Baby hyena.
All right, that's a good segue to the next one.
That's a good segue to something?
Not really, but we do have to move on.
Okay. Baby
spiders
hyena?
Eat snakes, you guys.
Oh.
Did you know that?
It doesn't sound right, no.
Yeah, I wouldn't have bet on that one.
It'd have to be a really small snake and a really big spider, but...
In the underground fights, which I certainly don't attend, I would not have laid my money
what
on that particular...
What do you think would win? A snake, like a actual, you know, snake, a...
garter snake?
Yeah, like a garter snake.
Cobra. Anaconda?
Well, let's go, okay, all right, keep it in your pants. Let's go with a scarlet snake and okay. A black or brown widow. Like, who do you think's coming out of that?
Snake getting any weapons? Got like little claws or anything we're going to attach to him?
Snake gets a gun, but can't hold it.
You could coil
no
around
arms.
It, pull the trigger with his little tail.
Snake gets no gun. No.
Yeah. Damn, I shouldn't have said anything.
I feel like it's just...
But I had a ringer in this.
Like, how do they fight? Like, the snake has to land a bite, but it's against a thing that it can't hit. Whereas the spider has a chance to win, but the snake could... Yeah. I think the snake leaves before any bites get landed.
The spider's hitbox is very small.
Very, very small.
A little bit unfair. Yeah.
Snakes are also just armored. Like, that's what they are. They're armored.
Yeah. Well... God, snake skin.
I say the snake, even though you have clearly said that's not the case.
Yeah, I feel like we're setting you up better if we both say snake. Snake wins every time.
Yeah, snake wins.
Yeah, you fool!
Oh, we walked right into it.
Dumb, stupid fools.
My money, my life savings.
My God, how dumb you are and how smart I am.
God damn it.
No, in fact, the spider often wins in that circumstance. So a recent paper was published in the American Journal of Arachnology.
Called Spiders versus Snakes, Part 6.
Basically, honestly, not that much of an exaggeration. New observations have shown that spiders tend to have a much more colorful diet than researchers have previously thought. And that includes snakes. So... This includes small snakes like blind snakes, which, you know, that's understandable.
Yeah.
They're like really tiny snakes. They kind of look like earthworms sometimes. They're so small. So it's like, all right, that's
technically
unfair.
They're katydids.
baby snakes, again, kind of a little bit unfair.
Mm-hmm.
Spiders also eat things like earthworms, velvet worms, which is very sad because I love velvet worms. They're adorable. Mm. Bristle worms, gastropods, crustaceans, bats, small rodents, and small amphibians.
Now, are they checking the stool of these spiders, or are they like watching them take out a bat?
Watching them take them out.
Oh, that's sweet.
That's a pretty good job.
Yeah. Yeah.
You tell your boss, like, yeah, sorry I'm late to work. You know, I was watching a spider kill a bat. It took him 47 days to do it.
That'd be cool if your job was just watching spiders kill stuff.
Yeah. That spider's got the size advantage on that snake, I would say.
It does, but click on that link because there are definitely
10 to 30 times their size. Well, I gotta see the 30. Yeah.
I
gotta
don't
see
read. I don't know how to read. I eat a lot of cat turds.
Who reads on the internet anymore? You just look
There's
at the image and you make an assumption.
There's a whole gallery of spiders chowing See, down. Oh, on
yeah,
snakes.
That second okay, that second photo is like, that's the fight I was picturing, and that is not the result I was picturing. So
yes,
listen, that spider basically never has to eat hunt again.
Right.
Probably like that. Not. That's a hoarder. That's a hoarding spider.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
it's gonna bunker up. It's a Costco run.
Yeah, no, that's that is the giant bucket of cheese puffs of the spider kingdom.
You're like, oh, I'll never get through this. And then like 2 weeks, you're like, holy god damn, I got through that?
Just one binge watching of I Think You Should Leave and it's gone. Yeah, so 30 species of spiders have been found to eat snakes. Like we've mentioned, it is sometimes truly astonishing, like a brown widow eating a scarlet snake many times her size. So a scarlet snake is kind of looks a lot like a corn snake, same size basically. So that's just and you know, black widows and brown widows are kind of scary for a spider, but they're still very small. So it can eat something up to 30 times her own body weight, and she does this by ensnaring the snake in her extremely viscous and sticky web. And as it gets stuck in that, she starts encasing it in more threads and then bites it multiple times with her potent neurotoxin. And once the snake is down for the count, the brown widow or black widow will actually hoist her prey up off the ground to eat like she's holding up a big old fish. But then she can just kind of eat it at her leisure.
Just lounge it and snack. Crawl all over.
It's like a hammock and a snack.
I know. It's like a bed you can eat. If they made like a couch out of cheese puffs, that'd be perfect.
Yeah. It's like if you could sleep on a giant hot dog.
Yeah. That's
the way to do it. Do you guys not?
Well,
not yet.
I do.
All right.
Tarantulas also eat snakes, and they will also, the ones that have a toxic bite, will use their neurotoxin to immobilize the snake long enough to eat it. Sometimes these spiders literally suck all its juices out like it's a go-gurt, just holds onto one end and just kind of sucks it out.
Mm.
Just keg stands that snake.
Keg stands a snake.
Describing like the eating habits of spiders is very much convincing of someone that there is no God, I think. Like, and the kind of person who could design a spider and the way it captures its prey and eats its prey is just a monster.
Yeah, but what if God is just a big,
just a big
old spider?
All right, that would make
just
a lot
a
of
big
sense.
Old spider?
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, just got the size wrong. They were meant to be like bigger than humans and rule the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
They but messed maybe this up a is decimal a point.
Maybe heaven is for spiders and this is sort of their purgatory, right? Their trials. They have to kind of contend with this. And those
religion makes a lot more sense through the lens of like 20 spider eyes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right? How does God see everything at once? Just got a billion spider eyes.
Spider eyes.
Spider eyes. Tarantulas have been found to kill even pit vipers. So truly kind of a Spider David and Goliath situation here. Can't help but feel a little proud of the spiders.
Yeah. Oh, I like at the very end of this gallery, the scientist threw one to the snake and showed a snake eating spider. Just like 29 images of snakes getting owned by spiders. And then the very last one is a really just quack-eating grin on the snake. Just like, ha!
Yeah.
Did you guys go to the footnotes? There's a picture of the researcher eating cat turds straight out of the litter box.
Oh.
Explains
a lot.
I've got an idea for a business.
Spiders eating snakes, Emporium. Come on down. 100% deals on 100% spiders eating snakes.
Yep, that's a
hot
cat turd
dog beds. It's just come to me.
So, we talk about the little things, the little guys in life that you may underestimate turn out to be terrifying. I'm just gonna switch it up and this time talk about something that's big and scary.
Okay.
You know?
No surprises.
No surprises. You know, sometimes it's like, I think a lot of times on the show, I'm like, I'm going to blow your mind. Like, you wouldn't think this would be scary, but it is. This time, I'm just going to play it straight with you guys. This is a big old bear, and it's terrifying.
Sweet, I'll look at a big bear.
Yeah, but it is... All right, so, you know, bears are big, right? Modern day bears, they're big. They absolutely can kill you. I think when I was on your podcast, we talked about that poll where some people thought they could fight a bear, which is absolutely not true.
6% people have said they can beat a grizzly bear.
People on this planet think that they can beat anything on this planet.
Yeah, they think they can beat a bear. That's not true. I don't think anyone stands a chance against... I mean, if we're talking about like a sun bear, like a little bear, maybe. But if we're talking about, you know, grizzly bear...
I believe it was
polar
specifically
bear.
No. Grizzly
bear. It was grizzly in the poll.
Oh, grizzly bear. Yeah, no way. No, you're doomed. But we didn't always have it this good, you know, with only certain death coming from a grizzly bear. There used to be a gigantic, just completely nuts, I can't begin to describe. Well, I guess I can. Here it is. It was called a giant short-faced bear, and it was the largest carnivorous mammalian apex predator to ever roam North America.
That is a lot of qualifications. Yeah. He's the largest killer, 18 to 35, in the women's division, pre-1972.
If you look at, like, a giant monster bear, and you're like, I'm going to call it a short-faced bear, like, you're digging on that bear, right? You're sticking it to him a little bit.
Well, all right. So I can simplify it a bit. It is one of the largest carnivorous mammalians in the world, and certainly the largest carnivorous mammalian to ever be in North America.
Okay,
but it's long dead, right? Like I don't have to buy a bunker now.
Well, no. But we did, it's not one of those things where it's like it died a long time ago. Humans never had to deal with this. Our ancestors had to tangle with this guy.
Oh, man.
Because it only went extinct around 11,000 years ago. And humans were in North America at least 14,000 years ago. So we absolutely probably were hunted by these just absolutely nightmare, massive eating machines.
I would have betrayed my own kind so fast and sided with that bear.
You would have gone bear. Yeah.
Yeah, I would have gone team bear so quick.
Dressed like a beautiful bear woman. Yoo-hoo!
Like a little bow tie in your hair. Because, you know, that's how you do it. Like, you dress as a bear, but you got like a little pink bow behind one of your ears. Works every time.
Here's I'm on that guy's side. All right, just so seeing the image, and I'm one of those guys sitting behind with the bear. I'm on that team.
Yeah.
That team of traitors, right there.
I do like this idea of this job interview you're having with this big bear, where it's like, "All right, well, tell me about your qualifications," and it's kind of salivating and measuring. You know,
well, I'm real tricky, and I don't have any love for my fellow humans. I could get you. I don't know, like three kids a day, probably.
I'd say, I go great with mustard, eat me! And then I would do a jump kick, and that would be my last decision.
That's noble cool. Death. Jackknife in there? That's awesome. You'd have a few sort of prehistoric legends about you for a while.
Hopkins
tell everyone else. Tell everyone else in your clan gets eaten, yeah. So let's talk a little bit about this bear. It weighed over one short ton, about 2,000 pounds.
Is that a reference to his face?
Are you trying to diss this bear?
Yeah.
I feel like the name of the bear is trying to diss the bear. Like whoever named it the short-faced bear.
Well, it's called a short-faced bear, you guys, because its face, it's got kind of a shorter muzzle than modern day bears.
Right, but that's not the most remarkable thing about this bear. I would have called it the enormous monster bear.
Yep.
I like that when you guys would have been getting eaten by this bear back, you know, 14,000 years ago, and like it's got your leg like in its mouth bent at an impossible angle, and you're like your face is short, and it's like, oh, come on,
gonna have to do a lot of chewing there, buddy.
Hey.
Come on, stop it.
I can't work out my face. Look at his arms.
Your bear is half your size with faces twice as long. Are you kidding?
I was born this way, you guys. It's seriously not funny.
Pug
got
bear.
Got your entire torso in its mouth. Yeah, so standing on its hind legs, it reached up to 12 feet tall, or 3.7 meters. When you look at these human beings beside it, these are all adult men. They get up about to the bear's, like, thigh, and that's it.
I like that its paw is the size of all four of their heads put together. That's a,
yeah.
That's a four-head paw. I can just swipe off four heads at once.
Yeah, it could just, like, kind of grab four human heads
like,
in its
take
paw,
out
like a bunch
a
of grapes.
A whole barbershop quartet, just one, bam.
So if
never
you could...
thought I'd get eaten by a bear.
So if you could do like a if you could do spectacular dunks, like if you can like put your elbow in the rim, like Vince Carter style, mm-hmm. then mm-hmm. you could, when this bear is reared up, jump up and like jam an apple into his mouth or something. But I'm saying it would take a spectacular, like, super dunker.
He's got to respect that move,
just
though.
To punch
he's really,
this
he's
short-faced
it.
Guy in the face while he's reared up.
Yeah. Yeah, you'd have to, I don't even know how, yeah, I think you'd have to have one of the tallest basketball players in the world with some of the best dunks to, mm-hmm. like, dunk a one of these giant short-faced bears in the mouth.
Right. Maybe Tony Jaa could kick him in the face. Like, you'd need to, like, do some sort of an acrobatic move.
Yeah.
You know, you do some handsprings to get the speed going. If you want to,
like three guys,
Jackie Chan
on each other's shoulders. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's right. Jackie Chan could like run up his body.
Yeah, you got.
Oh yeah, like... Jackie Chan. Yeah, that's the only human actually who could survive this would be Jackie Chan. Little mm-hmm. known fact. Little yep. known.
That's why their face is short. Ancient Jackie Chan's elbow striked him.
It. Well, Jackie Chan has been alive for
it's pretty ancient.
Since 14,000 years. So
that explains how he made so much money.
They do tell tales.
Face right in.
Yeah.
So when it's like standing on its hind legs, it is just ridiculously enormous. So you might think like, okay, but that's not fair because these bears aren't really bipedal. They walk on all fours most of the time, probably. Even when it's walking on all fours, it's still 6 feet tall. It's still 1.8 meters tall. So when this bear is just like standing bear style, it's still as tall as like a tall man.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, no joke. And it also, oh, hey, guess what? Could run up to 40 miles per hour, 70 kilometers per hour. So,
oh,
you know.
That's great.
So that's like a 5 second 100 meter dash.
Yeah.
That's fast.
Yeah, it's,
that's world record
fast. Imagine driving your car 40 miles per hour, like, and then there's just a bear just trotting alongside it. And it's the size of your car. That's kind of the situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, does that mean they, like, if they ran full speed into a tree, though, like, I mean, they die, right?
Yeah, they'd wrap around that tree.
That's how you'd take out the tree. I think you'd take out the tree.
It'd probably take out the tree.
So you want to do some Roadrunner style traps. You want to paint a tunnel on a rock, that type of thing. That's how you take out this bear.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
no,
are we talking how we take out the bear? Because I got a good plan.
Let me hear it. Is it to join forces with the bear?
Yeah, you immediately flip. All right, you go Team Bear, and you feed him so many kids. You feed him the best kids. Like, this guy cannot believe the quality of children that you believe that you bring
right.
for like
real chubby indoor kids.
Until he's so fat with kids, and he loves this. He trusts it implicitly. Then you poison the last kid.
Oh.
That's how you do it.
Yeah,
how to kill a bear with only 70 kids.
That's a great plan to have on record. Just poison a bunch of kids, feed the bear.
He only said poison one.
Kill the other kids. Yeah, you only poison one kid.
You
can kill the other kids however you want.
I'm sorry. You only said poison one kid. I'm sorry.
Right. You just bring him to the bear. You don't have to kill him. Nothing wrong with me. He's the murderer.
Oh right. This is like a trolley problem. Like, are you actually murdering the children if you just bring him to a bear that will most certainly eat them immediately?
Yeah,
is that
just
what
like
people
the
mean when
problem,
they say
it's
trolley
easily
problem?
Solved. No.
Yeah, this is what the trolley problem is. Like, do you divert the trolley from one side of the train tracks, or do you just feed a bunch of people to a giant bear?
You feed a bunch of people to a giant bear.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's the clear moral choice.
That's why philosophers still talk about it, because there's no clear right answer. Yeah.
I think when I talk about big things, it's kind of hard to get like perspective because it's just like, wow, that's just like a big thing. Let's compare it to like modern day current bears, because the largest living bears are Kodiak bears and polar bears of Alaska and the Arctic. Kodiak bears weigh up to only a little over half of the giant short-faced bear, and polar bears are still much smaller than the giant short-faced bears, 500 pounds smaller than the giant short-faced bears. And polar bears, standing on their hind legs, kind of reach a maximum of only around 3 meters or 9 feet tall. So they are still 3 feet shorter than a giant short-faced bear. So they would look like a cute little bear compared to this guy.
This is the Shaq of bears.
It is. Yeah. It's kind of like maybe when, you know, nature was sort of sorting things out 14,000 years ago. They're like, oh, we'll put this guy in. It's kind of scary. And it was just too scary. It was too scary to stick around.
Is that what happened, that humans hunted it because they were like so scared of it? Or is it just too hard to eat when you're that big? Because that dude must eat like 8 deer a day.
I've seen theories that range from humans potentially sometimes hunting them, I guess, in groups. I don't know how that worked. But
three,
like,
kids gotta feed the kids.
just put like tie a child onto a stick and then hold it up to the bear.
Well, if I'm understanding the extension of the mammoth properly, like, their basic evolutionary goal was to be so big nothing could hurt them, but humans would get together in big groups and like rodeo murder them, and they of course could murder a mammoth in like a couple of hours, whereas a mammoth took like 18 months to gestate or whatever it took. So obviously, you do that math long enough and there's no more mammoths. Maybe that's the deal with this bear, because I bet one of these bears is pregnant for like a good year and a half, 2 years, and then has to take care of his baby.
I don't know how long, and during that time, the gestation, probably shorter than a mammoth, because elephants have a really long gestation, and I think bears have a much shorter gestation. So it's not necessarily only size that determines the length of gestation. It's just that elephants tend to have a pretty long one.
Putting myself in the mind of someone who lives near this bear, and bears, if they have the same hibernation pattern as bear, I'm like, okay, I'm waiting until it's cold, and then I'm going to sneak into that bear's cave and for sure murdering it. Like, that's all I think about all day long. People would be like, shut up about the bear. I'm like, no, 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 buddy, we're going to get this bear as soon as winter comes. I'd obsess over it. And I feel like I'm not alone.
Your ancestors are the ones that did this.
Yeah.
Your bear-obsessed ancestors. You've got that gene. You can just feel it right now.
Well, it's either we do this now while it's asleep, or he eats our whole family later when he wakes up.
Man, we gotta collect some berries. No. No.
No. We're drawing up bear plants. Bear plants all day long.
We gotta plan for the bear. We gotta fortify our berries. Yeah, there's also the theory that these bears were killed off because of the Ice Age, and they just couldn't hack it, which, you know, sort of funny to me that these big old jocks just couldn't stand a little bit of cold.
Yeah, oh, too cold for you, giant bear?
Yeah.
Maybe if your face was longer, you could handle it.
But now the global warming's here and we're warming back up, they get to come back. That's how that works, right?
Probably one of these got frozen in a block of ice. And it's gonna thaw because global warming. This bear's gonna pop out. It's gonna be alive somehow. We're gonna clone it. We're gonna bring. You know what? Why didn't Jurassic Park have more big giant mammals from back in the day?
Yeah, that should have been the sequel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that giant, Jurassic, that giant like New Zealand, Australian eagle thing. That would have been. Weird.
Yeah, the moa. Yeah, it should have been called Furassic Park.
Maybe a hippogriff?
Guys, I don't think you heard me. I said Furassic Park.
But you said we're not allowed to glick.
Yeah, I'm not going to glick you on your own podcast.
Nobody knows what glicking is on this podcast.
Well, they're going to look it up.
Well, I don't know if they'll
and it's not
even
help.
Get it if they
as
don't.
As Katie Golden might put it, Jiminy Glick was a character played by Martin Short years ago on his own talk show called Jiminy Glick. And he would interview celebrities, and he would sometimes go, and then he would talk like this, and then he would talk like this.
When he found something delightful.
Right. And what Sean and Brockway do on their podcast is they use that as a way to intimidate the guest when the guest makes kind of a dumb joke or a silly joke, you know?
It's my way of letting someone know that the thing they did was cute, but I don't know how to engage with cute.
Right.
And so it's my defense mechanism.
It's a way of sort of bringing the conversation to a screeching halt.
Obviously, it's not for everybody, and Katie has is carrying around a lot of hostilities from a time I licked her. But
I think it's perfectly accurate, and that's what I love about it.
Yeah, well, you know, so now everybody knows you can definitely catch more glicks on Sean and Brockway's podcast, The Dog-a-Zone. That's how you pronounce it, right?
Mm-hmm, sure.
Yes, that is proper pronunciation. I wish more people would do it.
Yeah, yeah, but that's where you'll find all the glickable moments.
The Dog Zone 9000. You gotta add the 9000. There's probably the like 30 other dogs.
Zone 9000. Yeah, yeah.
Thank you for the nice plug.
We're kind of at the end of the episode, so it's time for plugs anyways. Mm-hmm. But before we do go, what do you guys think? If, you know, Giant Bear versus, say, we teamed up the T-Gondii, the snake-eating spiders, and the, you know, armored African bush crickets, and you got an army of those guys versus Giant Bear, who wins?
If we got T-Gondii on our side, then I think we could do it. We infect him with it, and then he just really wants to go. He'll find a bigger cat. I mean, he'll start a business,
a terribly stupid bear business.
Just be ruined.
And just completely throw his life away.
You guys, listen, it's a shirt that's also pants.
It says Big Johnson on it.
It's novelty tees.
Bear
balls. Do you guys get it?
Yeah. Guys, I really need you to buy one of these. I got everything put into this.
It's an energy drink, but it's also marijuana.
We're listening.
All right, now I'm back on Team Bear.
I hope the bear wins. If I'm picking the cause of my death, I'd rather fight this bear than just a dystopian dark future or a bunch of crickets squirting acid blood at me.
I do wonder if we reframe climate change and global warming as a giant bear is coming to like
bear
rip
weather.
Our faces off.
We can just call it bear weather.
There will be a giant bear that thaws.
Yeah, there's like at least seven or eight of these waiting to thaw.
Yeah. We're approaching bear weather. It's almost bear weather, you guys. We have to tackle this.
Yeah, it's almost bear times. The thaw in the Arctic is getting to the point where under the permafrost, we're going to find some of these bears.
Uh-huh.
And they're going to, you know, come back.
They're
going to
be well-rested, super hungry.
Yeah, yeah, they're hungry, hungry bears. They're the size of like three dudes and probably actually more, like five dudes. And they're going to start eating children that Brockway and Sean is helpfully supplying to the bear.
I wasn't on that
team. No, just me. Just me.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Nobody else is allowed on my team.
Oh, okay.
Me against the world.
All right. Well, you know.
Well, I mean, you're allowed on my team, but I'm clearly going to betray you.
Whoever is bringing the free market of whoever's bringing the bear the most children. And that's what capitalism
and that's me.
Is, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, I agree. I think T-Gondii probably would beat the bear just on its own because the bear would be too busy huffing cat pee to
that's
do anything,
true.
You know?
Just really hurt his self-esteem.
Game over. Yeah.
Champion.
Come on, guys. It's not funny. It's not funny. My face is like this and I can't help it. I can't help but sniff cat pee. Guys.
I'm going to really
rub it.
Bear Incel. Well, what better way to promote your podcast, which is all about bear incels, than that? So where can people find you guys?
Oh, we are available every weekday at 1-900-HOT-DOG. Yeah. And our podcast is the Dog Zone 9000. I guess that's it. We're on the Patreon.
You have a podcast and you have a publication, an online publication that has numerous interesting articles and ways to divert your attention for hours on end.
Yeah, we run free ones every week if you just want to go check them out. Look for the hot
You're
dogs.
You're a freeloader. A leech.
But yeah, we do. We do have pay content that is just far superior.
Yeah.
That's so good.
Yeah. That's what you get for not paying the piper.
We're just so funny every day is the point.
Yeah,
today, but...
Well...
But this is mainly because we weren't allowed to glick. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. No, it's, I mean, you know, this is not a humor podcast. It's just, it's about big bears, and that's very serious. It's not nothing to laugh about. Nothing to joke about.
About Baron cells.
Yeah, it's about Baron cells. You can contact me. Well, you can find me on the internet at Creature Feature Pod on Instagram, at Creature Feet Pod on Twitter. That's F-E-A-T, not F-E-E-T. Something very different. If you want to send me in questions, concerns about giant bears, if you are a giant bear and you'd like to make an alliance with me and not Brockway, you can send me an email at creaturefeaturepod@gmail.com. I'm on the internet too, at Katie Golden. Just typing out Katie thoughts. Don't expect too much from it. Random Katie thoughts. They're not always great, but they're there for you to view if you want on Twitter. And thanks to the Space Cossacks for their super awesome song Exo Lumina. Creature Features, a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts like the one you just heard, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or hey, guess what? Wherever you listen to your favorite shows. I'm not gonna tell you where to listen to your podcasts. I'm not some kind of giant bear that's eating your